Prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You just got called up to the big league, son. Welcome to the show. This is Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Tuesday, October the 6th, 2015. This is Primetime Sports. We are coast to coast on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks, the nation's most listened to sports talk show. Bob McCowan, Ken Reed in our Toronto studios. Cassie Campbell Pascal will join us a little bit later on. And for those who missed it, John Gibbons revealed to us the Blue Jays playoff roster, which I think has now been made sort of official. But for those of you who missed that conversation from earlier today, we'll replay that for you in about 30 minutes or so from now. In the meantime, after 6 months of the grind, the postseason has arrived, and for Blue Jay fans, the first time in 22 years, they're getting really ready for this. Before the Blue Jays kick off on Thursday against the Texas Rangers, we got a couple of wild card games to address, and who better to talk about it than Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports. Hello, Kenny.
Bob, how are you?
Good, pal. Yankees-Astros, I guess the storyline tonight is Keuchel on 3 days rest. Do you think it matters?
Yes, I do think it matters. It always seems to matter. And if you look at the history of pitchers on short rest, it is not a pretty one in the postseason. That said, he's facing a team that offensively has not looked good at all in a while now. Jacoby Ellsbury on the bench tonight.
Yep.
They've got Ref Snyder, the rookie, playing second base. They've got another rookie, Greg Bird, playing first base. Chris Young is in the outfield. It's not exactly murderer's row. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Keuchel handles 3 days rest, how the Yankees handle him, and if Tanaka, who is starting for the Yankees, can fare better against the Astros than he did in his one start against them this year, in which he allowed 5 runs in 6 innings and 3 homers.
Yeah, and he was out, 10 days ago with a hammy problem, I think. I don't know whether that's problematic still for him or not. Do you think he's 100%?
Yes, I do think, relative to where any pitcher is at this stage of the season, he is as good as he's going to be. And that's not to suggest that he's hurt or anything like that. He's okay. He did have that little tweak. Certainly it affected him to some degree, but as far as his health, the Yankees are pretty fortunate that he's pitching this game. Remember at the start of the season, a lot of us were thinking, man, this guy should get a Tommy John and get it done with before having to deal with any other issues.
Playoff games are playoff games, and people will be interested in this one. But it is safe to say that this one takes second billing to what's going to happen tomorrow night. That is a matchup that I don't think we've ever seen really like this in a wild card game, have we?
Actually, you're right. We have not seen anything like this. A 98-win team versus a 97-win team. It obviously is not a long history of wild card games.
Right.
This is the fourth year. But at the same time, I don't know that that was the idea when this thing was initiated, to have two teams of this caliber playing. But that's the way it broke this year. And obviously the story there is going to be Arrieta. 0.75 ERA since the All-Star game. Amazing second half. The best second half we've ever seen. And yet Pittsburgh might be the best team in the entire tournament. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Arrieta pitches in that blackout crowd, and it's going to be really interesting as well to see how Gerrit Cole fares against him. Gerrit Cole is, one of the top 10 pitchers in the game. No slouch. So that game is one that everyone is looking forward to.
Kenny, how do you think the Pirates will approach Arrieta, given what he's been able to do in the second half?
I don't know, Ken. There's been a lot of talk about that. You go the other way, you try to bunt. There are a number of things they can try. Actually, I think bunting is a good idea. Just disrupt them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, this guy's going so good and he's been in such a rhythm, it's kind of hard to imagine him blowing up in any sense. So I'm fascinated to see what Pittsburgh tries to do and whether they are able to succeed at all. Because, again, the general feeling is the winner of this game is going to be difficult to beat going forward, especially with Yadier Molina of St. Louis compromised, at least to some degree, with that ligament problem in his thumb.
That was another thing I was going to ask you. Are the Cards really the Cards going into these playoffs, given that?
If he's not 100%, they're not the Cards.
Yeah.
Right? Because he means so much to them. Now, apparently, from what we're hearing, and again, what we hear and what is reality might not be the same thing, but what we're hearing is that defensively he's going to be okay. It's just a question of how well he can swing the bat. In theory, they should have enough offense to withstand that, but again, you don't want any one hitter being that vulnerable in a situation like this. And they're an interesting club because they've got a lot of pieces, and yet not a lot of them have been healthy for the whole year. So it's going to be interesting to see who exactly they run out there and how they perform.
Before we get to the Cardinals against whoever, this Pittsburgh Cubs thing, more on that. You know, we talk a lot about experience in the postseason, how valuable it is to have been there before, to have guys on your club who know what to expect, understand how to approach this thing, and aren't shocked by what they're about to experience because it is invariably different from the regular season. In that case, if you compare the Cubs to the Pirates, it's no contest. Pittsburgh has a team with guys that have played in the postseason. The Cubs, as a general rule, do not. Do you think it matters more or less in a one-game series as opposed to a five- or seven-game series?
That's an excellent question. And I would say, Bob, it matters, period. And we've seen teams that are young and so talented that it doesn't seem to affect them. But we've also seen, more recently, a team like the Giants, a battle-tested postseason team,
right,
just keep going. Now, the Royals were the opposite last year, kind of a younger team. So there's no rule here, but it's going to be interesting to see how the Cubs do handle this because it is different. And I would put the Mets in that category as well. The Mets are not necessarily a young team, though their rotation is very young, but they are, for the most part, new to this. And they're facing a Dodgers team that has been here last few years. And also, in my view, Kershaw, the difficulties he's had, well, the law of averages is on his side. This guy's too good. So all of these questions are legitimate, but I've kind of come to understand with the postseason not to predict anything, not to expect anything, because you'll just look silly. And, in fact, I haven't written a single prediction column yet, and I'm a very happy man because of that.
Tell me what you think of the Matt Harvey story that emerged today, and what impact that might have on the New York Mets. And we were talking to Jim Duquette of MLB Network earlier today, and I sort of tried to compare it a little bit to what we went through with Papelbon, you know, about a week or so ago. I know it's different. It's not the same kind of situation at all. But this is a guy who's had issues in this clubhouse with this team, well-documented, and here's another one. Do you think it matters?
I don't know that it matters, but in terms of him and who he is and what he is with that team, it is yet another example of a guy who doesn't seem to be fully with the program at all times. Listen, we all know New York traffic can be terrible, but 24 other players seem to find their way to the ballpark today on time. He couldn't. It's not a good look. And I like what David Wright said. What he said was, hey, I'm not worried about the one guy who isn't here. The 24 who were here had a good workout. So it all depends on how he performs. There's enough with this guy now that if he doesn't perform well in this postseason, a lot of their fans are going to be quite upset. I imagine some of their players will be too after all of the talk about the innings and now this. But if he pitches well, well, you guys know how it works.
Yeah.
But he's going game three, right?
Correct.
I mean, they could be down. I expect them to be down 2-0. I think he got to two.
He could be down 2-0 going back to Citi Field, and he'll be pitching to save the season.
Well, yeah. I mean,
quite a story.
Yeah,
it would be.
But I expect that. I mean, I don't. I think the Dodgers have the two best starting pitchers in the entire postseason, and even though their record does not suggest they should be really seriously considered, I don't know how give me the two best pitchers, and I'll take my chances.
I agree. That said, and I'm just going to play devil's advocate because I'm basically in agreement with you.
Okay.
DeGrom and Syndergaard on a given day can be that good too. And we've seen that, certainly from DeGrom and Syndergaard, very talented kid, as you guys know, up there. So again, I don't rule anything out, and maybe the Mets offense gets hot again. It was the hottest offense on the planet. It was the National League version of the Jays for about a month and a half. Not quite that good, but pretty darn good. So we'll see. But, man, I have a hard time seeing Kershaw losing, and Greinke too. These guys are too good.
Well, Kershaw's got to get hot in the postseason at some point, right? Law of averages.
Well, that's the thing. And people say, oh, well, look what's happened to him in the postseason. Hey, Barry Bonds, one bad postseason after another, right?
Oh, yeah.
You give great players enough chances, and eventually they're going to be great players. They're not chokers. It's small sample size, bad series here or there, a couple of bad at-bats. I'm sorry. Give them enough chances, they'll produce.
Ken, I have to get into the Rangers and the Blue Jays with you. I mean, these are two teams that just score a pile of runs. I know you're not into predictions, but I'm not going to get you to pick a winner or a loser. But, I mean, classic postseason baseball is often a 2-1 game or a 3-2 game. Do you see any games like that in this series? There's some great pitching, but there's some great hitting as well.
True. And this is actually the series I'll be attending. I'm looking forward to coming up to Toronto tomorrow. I think the Rangers are going to give them a harder time than people might expect. Now, it's possible it turns out the other way and the Blue Jays just bludgeon them because that's what they do. But the Rangers are pretty good. And their offense, it wasn't great the whole year. But in September, actually the last 6 weeks, Fielder, who has been good all year, he's there. Chu got really hot and has been hot. The player that got all that money, he's become that again. Beltre playing with, I don't know, six fingers at this point. It doesn't seem to matter. The guy's a brilliant player. Odor is an interesting offensive guy. They've got some pieces. Moreland. So I do expect that they're going to be pretty formidable. Now, David Price is, if not Kershaw and Greinke, pretty darn close.
Yeah, he is.
So I don't know what they do against him. I don't know what they do against Stroman either. But it is a good team, and it's a team that I expect to play well. How it all plays out, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a lot of left-handed bats for Texas going up against Price. That would be my concern if I were the Rangers.
It is, and certainly, I don't even know with Price. You're right. It's a lot of left-handed bats, but at the same time, he's so good against everybody.
Yeah.
You can't really even stack your lineup and expect that to be the answer.
Yep.
Fielder was left-handed, Chu's left-handed. You're right. No question. Hamilton's another one. But at the same time, they're a pretty savvy group, and Chu is a guy that has not hit lefties at all times in the past, but lately has hit everybody, and Fielder can handle anybody. So they're vulnerable that way, no question about it, but I would suggest that everyone is vulnerable to David Price.
We got John Gibbons, the manager of the Blue Jays, earlier today to acknowledge that Stroman is going to get the start in Game 2, not Dickey, not Estrada. Does that surprise you even a little bit before you go?
No, not a little bit, and it's the right call. He's the best guy they've got for Game 2. And no disrespect to Dickey and no disrespect to Estrada, but Marcus Stroman, when he's on, is a guy with better stuff than either of those two, a guy with a better chance to dominate a lineup. And my expectation when he was activated was if he was good, he was going to be the Game 2 guy, and that's how it's turned out. I'm not surprised at all, and it seems to me to be the right call.
Enjoy the game tonight, and hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up while you're in Toronto covering the Blue Jays and the Rangers.
I look forward to being there, guys. See you soon.
Thanks, pal.
See you, Ken.
Kenny Rosenthal of Fox Sports. And again, tonight it's the Yankees and the Astros. Tomorrow, the Cubs and the Pirates. And then Thursday, yeehaw.
Yeehaw. All games on Sportsnet.
All games on Sportsnet.
Late night at the old plant tonight.
Which means we will not be on the air, by the way, on Thursday. We'll find out tonight, I guess, whether the start time for Thursday's Blue Jays opener is 3:37 or 4:07. Those are the two options. But it's a late afternoon start on Thursday. Then an early afternoon start, I think 12:37?
12:45, I want to say.
Oh, 12:45 on
Friday.
And then Saturday is a travel day.
Sunday is an
8:10 game or whatever. So that's the schedule for your viewing habits. And again, John Gibbons in just a bit.
Did you have to really get it out of John Gibbons, or did you just ask?
No, you'll hear.
Good tease, Bob.
You'll hear it. We'll play it back for the people who didn't catch it earlier. The hockey season is getting set to get underway. In some places in the shadow of the postseason because the Blue Jays are in it. But if you're a hockey fan, you know, you might watch baseball too, but you're ready for the beginning of the hockey season. Here's Cassie Campbell-Pascal with us from the NHL on Sportsnet. Hi, Cass. How are you?
Hi, Bob. Hi, Ken. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Hey, Cassie.
So you spend most of the season in the West covering the teams out there. What's the big storyline this year? Is it Connor McDavid for you?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, you know, everyone wants to see what he's able to do and sort of live up to the hype and, you know, sort of maybe a desperate situation for the Edmonton Oilers, a team that has such a great tradition of winning, albeit a long time ago, see if they can get back to that winning tradition. And I think just seeing how good this guy really is and getting an opportunity to watch him, probably I'll watch pretty much every Edmonton Oilers game this year. So I think that part's going to be exciting. And, you know, I think living in Calgary and the surprise team that they were last year, and then with the additions of Dougie Hamilton, Michael Frolik, you know, I think that there's a lot of buzz around here, too, to see if the Flames can, you know, get into the playoffs and then, of course, get past that second round, potentially, where they lost last year to Anaheim.
It's interesting you mentioned Calgary. Not to get off Edmonton too quickly, but, you know, as we've been preparing for this season, I found a significant number of people are very cautious about the Calgary Flames and whether last year was real or a mirage. Do you think there's a danger of a slide? Because you would confess last year was not what we expected from the Calgary Flames.
Well, I think so. And I think people, you know, it was so exciting last year. I think for the whole country, they kind of got on the Flames bandwagon a bit because it was such an incredible story. But we have to remember they actually made the playoffs the second last game of the season. And they also kind of got some help from the LA Kings and the San Jose Sharks, which kind of unusually both teams didn't make the playoffs. And you got to think that's going to be a little bit different this year with both those teams being a little bit more rested and making some tweaks. And, you know, LA recently Stanley Cup champions, so you know that that's a team that's going to want to come back and prove that what happened last year missing the playoffs was a fluke. So, you know, it's definitely going to be tough in the West, and that's where I think maybe, you know, the hype around Edmonton is maybe, you know, we're all excited about Connor McDavid, but we got to remember it's still kind of a group that's rebuilding somewhat, and you know, some Cam Talbot is kind of still a question mark, if you will, although I think he's going to be great. But you know, the West is tough, and, you know, the Stanley Cup champions as of late have all been from the West, and I think Anaheim's going to be good, that whole Pacific division. I think it's going to really make it tough on a lot of these teams out here.
Cassie, when I look down to Calgary, when I look at Edmonton, I think, wow, they could really use some help on the back end. Then I look down to Calgary, and I think, wow, they just got Dougie Hamilton. What do you think he could do for the Flames blue line this year?
You know, it'll be interesting. You know, he's been in the league 3 years. He is only 22. You know, for me, getting a chance to just go down to practice as of late and watch him skate. You know, I mean, I've watched the World Juniors and I watched the Boston Bruins play, but I think to get a chance to see him day in and day out and skate. And I talked to Mark Giordano about the chemistry that's developing between he and Dougie Hamilton, who look like they're going to be partners to start the season. And he said, you know what, he reminds me a lot of TJ Brody, who he played with last year and had a lot of success, except he's bigger. And I think that gives a lot of credit to how great of a skater Dougie Hamilton is, because TJ Brody is sort of Scott Niedermeyer like, and yet Dougie Hamilton probably has about 20 pounds on him and about 5 inches. So it's going to be fun to watch him skate. It's going to be fun to watch them have another right-handed shot on the backhand, and I think to see if he can handle the expectations. And I think the big adjustment for Dougie Hamilton is going to be keeping up to the pace that Bob Hartley and the Calgary Flames like to play at. I mean, you watch a practice and Hartley's yelling at these guys, go, go, go. He wants movement and support. And, you know, it's north-south. And I think the pace maybe in Boston was just a little bit slower, a little bit more control. And it'll just be, you know, sort of an adjustment period for Dougie Hamilton. But what a get by Brad Treliving. And, you know, there weren't many GMs, maybe four or five, who actually knew Dougie Hamilton was on the block. And Brad Treliving did a nice job getting in there, and a young defenseman signed him to a long-term deal, and a lot of upside, obviously, with Dougie Hamilton.
With Cassie Campbell. We want to talk at least for a couple of minutes about an event that you're involved with, October 7th, that is tomorrow. Ronald McDonald House Charities celebrate Day of Change, inviting Canadians to help families of sick children through one simple act, giving their spare change in a coin box located at their local McDonald's. Take a minute or so and tell us about where that money goes.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. And you kind of look at these coin boxes when you go through a McDonald's drive-through and, you know, up near the cashier, and, you know, you put your nickel in or your quarter or whatever it is that you get the change back. And what people don't realize is those coin boxes actually help raise over $3 million a year for the 14 Ronald McDonald houses across the country. And those houses service about 20,000 families.
Yep.
And unfortunately, they have to turn away about 3,000 families. So there's still a need to raise money for the houses. And a lot of them are trying to expand and maybe build new houses with more rooms. And basically what the Ronald McDonald houses do is, for the most part, they're located as close as they can be to big city children's hospitals.
Right.
And they provide a home away from home for families who have children that are maybe going through cancer or have to spend a tremendous amount of time, you know, at a local children's hospital. And they kind of just make it a little easier by providing some great services to these families and allow these parents to be around other parents with sick kids and, you know, just help these parents in general make better decisions for their sick child when it comes to, you know, getting some sleep, getting a home-cooked meal. They help take care of siblings of these kids. And,
right.
They just try to make life easier for families that have sick kids.
I've spent some time there. We've done food drives there, and it is a heartwarming and very worthwhile enterprise, the Ronald McDonald houses across the country. Cassie, we must off. We hope and we encourage everybody, if you're driving by a McDonald's tomorrow specifically, drop a few pennies in and or as much as you can afford. It will go to a good cause. Enjoy the hockey season. We'll talk over the course of the year. Thank you for this.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Ken, for having me on. Take care.
See you, Cassie.
Cassie Campbell-Pascal of the NHL on Sportsnet. When we come back, the Blue Jays manager, John Gibbons, from earlier today. What did he say? Quite a bit. This is Primetime on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Bottom of the hour. Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks. McCowan and Reed. Earlier today, Reed was not here, so he's hearing this for the first time, or will be. John Shannon was sitting in that chair right there. And we struck up a conversation with the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, John Gibbons. And, of course, there were many things to discuss. How they got to this point, what they're going to do in the postseason, what the rotation's going to be. Gibbons said, we're not prepared to announce the lineup. But as you'll hear, you pretty much got all the guys who are going to be on the roster. For those of you who missed it, and for those of you who might want to watch it again, here's our conversation from earlier today with the manager of the Blue Jays, John Gibbons. Are you prepared to make an announcement or anything official, Mr. Gibbons?
About what?
About the starting rotation for the postseason.
Well, I think you just hit on the head, didn't you, Price and Stroman?
Yeah, well, that's what Stroh says anyway. So,
well, and how many guys do you know that graduated from Duke, by the way?
None.
Yeah, I want to know how close Bob ever got to going to campus at Duke. That's a better question.
I don't like to hang out with smart people.
Well, then you got the right guy on the line.
Yeah, I'm surrounded by people that I like a lot. Yeah. How are you, by the way? Congratulations. We haven't had a chance to talk.
Yeah, Bob, hey, thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on here, but I'm glad you got me.
Well, we're glad to have you. The decision to start Stroh over Dickey at home, I get it, but it you know, I thought about it, as everybody did, and I probably would have gone with RA at home. Tell me what the thought process was.
Well, I think we're going to run with our two top guys, you know, we'll go price that first one. Hopefully win that first game. And, you know, you get your hottest, another hot guy going that second game. And hopefully come out with a 2-0 lead. Or say you struggle in that first game, you know, Stroh might be able to save you right there. And so really it came down to going with our two hottest guys, really. And then, you know, especially in a three-game, you know, when you got to win three games. It just made sense to me anyway. Maybe not you, but to me.
Well, here's my point was this. If you look at RA's record at home and on the road, indoors versus outdoors, I'd rather have RA throwing that funny ball at the Rogers Center. That was my whole position on it.
No, makes sense. You know, I'm not so sure the part about indoors, outdoors, you know, matters that much. You know, I mean, I've seen him good both places when the dome closed here, when he's outdoors. Now, weather-wise, I mean, that's a factor. I think they really, the only thing that bothers him throwing the knuckleball is if there's moisture in the air, you know, if you get a little light rain or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's where, of course, you'd have the benefit of, you know, being, we have a roof here if we need it. So, but really, Bobby, just came down to, you know, run our top two guys at him, you know, back-to-back and hopefully get a little lead there.
John, how do these guys, I mean... let's face it, professional athletes have egos. How do you tell R.A. Dickey that he's not starting at home and in game two, and how do you manage those egos? Because, by God, you got a lot of them.
Well, I mean, yeah, generally at the top of any sport, yeah, that's a part of what drives these guys. But you know what, I've been saying all year, there's something different about this group. And you know, we have some of the best players in baseball, and yet you know, they get it. It's team first. And you know, R.A., you know, he, you know, we told him, I mean, he wasn't surprised by that at all. And he totally understood. And he sees what Strom is doing as well, you know. And he's basically on board. Hey, every game you need me, let's do it. I'll go out there and give you my best. But, you know, this team as a whole, basically, they're all unselfish. Yet they have a lot of pride, and they all have big egos like everybody else in the sport. But there's something different about this group. I've been saying that all year.
With John Gibbons, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. So Stroh goes second, Dickey goes third, and who goes fourth? Or do you make that decision? Do you bring Price back for sure if you need him? Or do you decide that when you get to the game four?
We'd have to wait and see where we're sitting right at the moment. You didn't even mention Estrada.
Well, I'm getting to him. Gibbons, patience. I'll get there.
I want to make sure you didn't forget his name, Bob.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, look at, and since you brought it up, my next question, several people, some of whom I respect, suggest that you make the argument that Estrada should be 1 or 1A. That his season has been good enough, probably not to be number one over Price, but you can make the case that maybe he shouldn't be the number four guy in the rotation. How do you calculate this kind of stuff? I mean, you and Alex and a bunch of guys sit around and kind of try and analyze it
in the ward room, but nobody said he was going to be number four either. He could be three, you know. You know, Bob, there's an argument there for that.
Sure, there is.
He's had that kind of year.
Yeah, he has.
I guess what we feel real good about is, you know, when we hit the road, you know, our three or four, whoever that is, whatever order, you know, we feel good about them. They're all in a nice little roll right now. So we're comfortable whoever we throw out there. We think we're in a pretty good position, regardless where we stand at the time. So, you know, that's one of the benefits. You know, and normally teams, you know, they get to the postseason, you're not going to get there with one or, you know, one and a half good starters. You need more than that, and that's what we have.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to declare your roster for this series, I believe, 10 o'clock Thursday morning, 10 o'clock day of game. Is that right?
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm not sure you're going to tell us. What's your toughest decision?
Well, you know, it really hasn't been that tough. You know, we met as a, you know, the coaching staff and Alex and his guys the other day in Tampa. It really came down to, you know, that extra bullpen guy, who that might be, and maybe who that last position player was going to be. Really not many decisions we had to make. And it really was just a formality, and I think everybody's on the same page. And, you know, we haven't announced anything yet, but, you know, we pretty much know what we're going to do. And, you know, I just got to talk to Alex, see when he wants to announce that.
I think now is as good a time as any, Gibby.
Why not? Sure.
The
the protocol.
Yeah, well, I'll call Gibby. I'll call Alex for you. Don't worry about him. He won't bother you. Did you, I'm assuming, most people are assuming that Burley is not on the 25-man roster. Did you think about what he might be able to do for you in the bullpen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, the problem with that, you know, he's never thrown out of the bullpen other than his rookie season.
I understand.
And I'm not so sure he's comfortable with doing that either. Not because, you know, a pride thing, but, you know, it's been so long, he's been a starter. You know, he, you know, as far as getting him ready in the game, blah, 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 all that stuff, getting him prepared and you know, on you know, spur of the moment, calling to the bullpen, hey, get this guy ready for a second hitter, you know, that kind of thing. It would be tough. And, you know, he struggled the last month. You know, he's gutted out, and he had a tremendous season for us. But he's pretty beat up right now, too, so he understands that totally. But now, you know, if we're fortunate enough to move on to that second round or even hopefully the World Series, and, you know, something happens or we feel like he can help us, he can always come back with that, too.
Loop did not have a good season, but I believe you're going to name him to the roster. You can confirm or deny because you want that extra left-hander. True or false?
Yeah, well, Bob, I think we need it. You know, it's been an up-and-down season for him. You know, in the last couple of years, he's really been one of the key go-to guys. You know, he hasn't pitched a whole lot lately. But he still has the ability to get some lefties out, you know, maybe in a key hitter or two in that sixth inning. You know, you look at Texas' lineup, you know, their real strength is their left-handed hitters. Mm-hmm. You know, even you go, you know, the Yankees, who knows, if you end up meeting them somehow down the road, I mean, they're basically a left-handed hitting team. So, yeah, those guys can be very valuable because, you know, other than that, it's just Cecil, and, you know, you're not going to throw him three innings.
Well, no, I understand.
That's the only problem right there.
Outfielders, you're going to go with two extras, Pompey and...
Hey, you're working right into the team, aren't you?
Well... If you won't tell me, I got to ask a different way. If I have to be sneaky, Gibby, I can be sneaky.
Because you know what? That dumb text will reveal everything, won't he? Now, you know, I think that we highlighted a few times this year, you know, just what Pompey can do for us coming off the bench.
Yeah.
You know, base running. He's got sure. The ability to steal a bag. He can score from first with anybody. And, you know, like most teams, we got a few cloggers on this team too. Now we get down a run or tie game late, that run's vital. We're gonna have to pinch run, and he could be very valuable with that.
Right. Did you think about going with three catchers? Because and I would have initially said no, but we had a conversation last Friday in a round table, and a case was made for Toley. And you know what? I get it. I just wonder whether you've decided that yet.
Well, no, we're not going to go with three, but, you know, I mean, there's always the possibility that, you know, say, you know, Russell's catching R.A. in that game and he gets hurt or something, you know. Then I think what you're going to see probably happen is Dickey comes out of the game, unfortunately. Hmm. Navarro will let him mess with it a little bit, but I don't know how good it would be, or we'd at least experiment with it. And that's the
danger, yeah.
That's the risk and reward of a knuckleballer, you know, that – you know, especially when you get to the postseason and roster spots are limited, we have some key guys that fit other roles, and it's really tough to carry that third catcher when that's really all he does is catch.
So we know you're playing Texas, but how close will you be watching the Houston Yankee game tonight?
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely watch it. You know, we have a 6 o'clock workout tonight, and after that I'll turn that on. Yeah, yeah. This is second season of baseball. And, you know, who knows who we might meet if we get through this first one.
Well, what's the health of the ball club in general? Everybody, I know Edwin is going to have the finger problem probably for the rest of the year. We'll have to get it looked after in the off season. Anybody else with any bangs or bruises that concern you?
You know, Bob, I think we're pretty lucky right now. Everybody's in pretty good shape. Yeah, you know, Eddie's finger, I think he's really gotten over that a little bit. These few days off will definitely help that. You know, this time of year, you got to suck it up anyway. So, but overall, yeah, we're actually in real good shape.
Hey, John, this has nothing to do with looking forward, but looking back, and I don't mind saying it. I love what you did for Mark Burley on Sunday.
You're in the minority.
I know. Oh no, I know. I know. And I just thought it was the right thing to do for a person at his point in his career, for a milestone that was important to a lot of people, and maybe you kind of indicated that it was almost as important for his teammates as it was for him. And to me, that's all about team first, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. You know, yeah, and I talked to a couple of his teammates, you know, about doing it, and they said, you know, you got to do it. You know, the thing that, you know, really opened up the doors, you know, with that rain out in Baltimore on Tuesday night, you know, forced a doubleheader on Wednesday, you know, if Stroman would have pitched that Tuesday, he would have been in line. He would have at least thrown some innings on Sunday. You know, but he was coming back on short rest. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Dickey, since they both threw that doubleheader. So we needed a guy to begin with. So it was a bullpen day. You know, I don't know if it was, you could say it made perfect sense, but to me it did. And to his teammates you know, maybe the baseball guys didn't like it. That's why that first inning went the way it did. But, you know, I thought he deserved a shot. And the fact that it was a bullpen day anyway, why not give it a chance?
I didn't mind. I thought, I agree with John. I thought, you know, putting Burley out there on Sunday, if he was able to go, and he says he was fine, didn't pitch like it, but he said he was fine, and I don't have an issue with it. My issue, is a greater issue, would have been, and I quite frankly said so, Gibby, was, you know, and I understand the circumstances. I just thought maybe not enough attention was paid to the possibility of holding off Kansas City and getting that extra home game in the ALCS if it came down to it.
No, right. A fair question. You know what happened there? We were even talking about that Tuesday night, you know, with the rain out. We said, okay, you know, we got a doubleheader this night. We can win this thing after the first game. What are we going to do? You know, I just started looking back. You know, these last few weeks have been a grind. You know, we in the previous home set, you know, we had a tough series against Boston, lost 2 out of 3. Then the Yankees came to town. You know, another good intense series, and you know, we won that one. Then of course now we're on our way to Baltimore. We're getting close. These guys have been out there every day grinding. You know, they're feeling it. They're feeling the heat. They're banged up. And then we come back winning that first game against Baltimore. So now we're on the verge, and with the fact that we got a doubleheader. You know, you win the first one, there's going to be a big letdown. It's got to be. You know, it's human nature. These guys have, you know, been competed all year. They get to that point first time in 20-something years, they're aware of that. You know, it's with the excitement, the celebration, even after the first game. You know, it's been hard to expect those guys to be locked in anyway. And to be honest with you, there might have been a group of them in there saying, you know, what the hell are we doing? You know, I mean, can I ever get a breather? That kind of thing, you know. And we had plenty of backup guys here that, you know, they go out there, maybe not the same offense, but give us a shot. And so really that's everything that factored in. And I knew the, you know, the magnitude of the situation. But I also got to, you know, a manager's got to do what's best for his guys and understand their mindset and what they've been through and really the frame of mind probably was going to be for that second game anyway. You know, and then, of course, the next day was, you know, all the crap weather and really was that would have been the day off anyway because they played before and things like that. And, you know, Price wasn't going to pitch at them. Thank God it didn't come down to that rain day there in Baltimore. You know, Price might have been out there for one inning, he'd have been done, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing. And then we made the decision it would be best for, you know, Price. You know, he's thrown a lot of innings this year in over the last few years. We're in the playoffs. Let's rest him up. He'll get enough side work where he's feeling good, you know, to start that first game. Let him back off because, you know, he's one of the league leaders in his pitch at this point, and hopefully he's making a few more starts for us before this is all said and done. So that's really everything it came down to. I know it wasn't considered necessarily a smart decision, but it came down to what I thought was best for our guys, and in the end, that's the most important thing to me.
If you're going
to
win the World Series, you don't have to worry about one game. You can win more games than that on the road. My goodness gracious. That's what championship teams do, John, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so. I mean, that extra home game. You know, of course, that's ideal. You know, for us, the way we play at home, and everybody wants that, especially with the crowd we've got now. but there's always that but.
Indeed.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it that way, but that's okay. That's why you're the manager, and I'm sitting here doing a stupid radio show.
But you open yourself up for a lot of criticism.
Well, I mean, you know, I think the circumstances played a role in this. As you said, you win in the first game of the doubleheader. You don't want to send the guys back out for the nightcap. Then, you know, the next day you're supposed to play 4 o'clock. They move it up to 12 o'clock. You know, all those drunks probably only had a couple of hours sleep after the party. And, you know, I get all that. I understand. The circumstances were such that it would have been a tough call. I just wanted to make sure that there was at least some attention to the fact that Kansas City was out there in an extra home game. You know, God forbid you go seven games against Kansas City. Now, we're not there yet, but God forbid you go seven against Kansas City and you have to play it in their yard and something stupid happens and, you know, they win it in the ninth inning. But
would you still have me on the show the next day?
Hell no. Are you kidding?
Actually, you may be the permanent co-host.
Well, enjoy this. You're working out at 6 o'clock today. What are you gonna have? What are the guys gonna do? Just normal BP, little infield, and usual stuff.
A little PFP stuff like that. You know, for the pitchers.
Yeah.
A few little bunts. Yeah, you just a little tune up. Get them move around a little bit. And then tomorrow we have our, you know, league mandatory 1 at 2 o'clock, and then we'll be ready to go.
Do you anticipate managing any differently now that it's a postseason?
Well, Bob, you know what? I've talked to some guys in baseball, been around a long time, and they say that, you know, the playoffs is different, but what hurts a lot of guys if they get too conservative and they start going away from what they normally do. Now, in saying that, you know, really every game is a must win. So you will do some things differently, maybe what you do with the pitching staff, you know, and how much, you know, rope you give those guys
right
when they're in the game. But, you know, and it makes a lot of sense. Don't, if you get too conservative and you go away from, let's say, from the offensive end of it and things like that, and or who you play and this and that, I think players would sense that too. You know, one thing about our group we have in here, we play an exciting brand of baseball. You know, they turn it loose. You know, they lay it out there every night. You know, so you don't want to restrict them in any way like that. Just go do your thing, guys, and if we're good enough, we'll be there.
Earlier today, Sportsnet aired the fourth game of the ALCS against Oakland, where Robbie hit the home run in the bottom of the ninth, or top of the ninth, rather, off Eckersley. And you know, many people think that was the game-winning home run. It wasn't. It tied the game up, and they won in extra innings. But the interesting part about that, Gibby, is Jack Morris started. He was horrible. And the Blue Jays were down 6-1 and wind up winning at 7-6 in extra innings. And that team had a lot of pop on it, as you know, but it doesn't have as much pop as this team. So,
right.
You know, getting down early may not be the kiss of death.
Right.
So...
yeah, that's one thing we've proven. You know, of course, playoffs are different. We know that.
But we know.
But this team has proved many times this year that, you know, we can come back from some pretty good leads. It's not ideal, but, you know, that's what we do.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's comforting to know. That's for sure. And you know, that's what you can do. When you hit the long ball, that's what you can do. And go for it, boys.
Here you go. There's the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays from earlier today, John Gibbons. Did you learn anything?
Yeah.
You didn't listen to most of it. You were too busy yakking.
By the way, we learned compliments of Shai Davidi that Marco Estrada will start game 3 and R.A. Dickey will start game 4. It's always educational.
If they're down 2-1, do you think R.A. Dickey starts game 4 or you bring Price back?
I'm not a negative person, so I will not address that question.
You chicken. I think it depends on where they're at. 2-1 Blue Jays?
Probable pitchers.
Price
right?
pitches. 2-1 Rangers? Price is coming back. He's just had 11 days off. Be half asleep on Thursday night.
Yeah, it's just...
boredom.
I got to say, it's pretty exciting to actually be talking about this, and it's kind of got that almost Christmas morning feeling
to
it.
Well, this is the first time for you. It's you young people.
Well, I was around the last time.
Oh, barely.
Our
thanks to Ken Rosenthal, to Cassie Campbell-Pascal, and to John Gibbons for joining us not once, but twice. Well, he only joined us once. We aired it twice.
It was some of my best work, that interview.
I've never seen you better. Are you back tomorrow?
Luckily for you, no.
Oh, bonus.
Oh,
that's Ken Reed. I'm Bob McCown. Have a nice night. Enjoy the baseball game. See you tomorrow. Good night from Toronto.